This is a documentary about the growing popularity of cold plunging. As I note in the story, talk with your doctor if you're considering a cold plunge, and if you choose to try it, observe all safety precautions.
Ready to take the plunge?
When you get into the cold plunge, you have what they call a cold shock, which is just like an increase in serotonin and an increase in adrenaline, but you get just kind of this feeling of just like euphoria.
It's a deep dive into the benefits of cold plunging. This hour, we look at real experiences and the research explaining why it works. Our host is Jessica Lowell on KSL News Radio.
So I just got up to Oakley, and right now it is 8 degrees outside. It is pretty frigidly cold, and there's about 3 feet of snow on either side of the road.
There's about a 4 foot drop down to the water.
Okay.
All around Utah, there are people every day getting into the freezing cold water, and they're doing it for what they call fun. It's called cold plunging. It's been cited all the way back to ancient Greece by Hippocrates and Plato. In recent years, it's become a trend offering a challenge to people seeking an adrenaline rush.
It makes me feel super brave. I always feel like just so excited and happy afterwards.
It's always so refreshing. Yeah. And it just gets you energized, and it does release those endorphins, makes you much more productive. And I love the effects of it. Whenever we're traveling I love to hike. And when you know you're gonna jump in the cold lake at the top, it adds more purpose to your adventure and just makes it funner. Everyone handles it differently, and it's a good time.
There was something about it that's like, you just want to do it again. I don't know what to
love it.
How to describe that, but every time I do it, and so then it's something, it's like I look forward to it. It's like I look forward to Saturdays in winter because we come up here, for a couple reasons. I like the social aspect, but then just kind of the mind over matter thing too, like, making yourself do something that like part of you just doesn't want to do, but then afterwards it just, the feeling after, it's kind of unmatched. It's I think that's part of the addictive part of it.
See, there's like a little step down.
Okay.
It's not just the rush that brings people back, it's the community too.
It's become something where people have heard word of mouth, or they're up visiting. Well, a big one has been like Christmas Eve or Christmas or New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving, where people are up here visiting family, and a friend will say, "Oh, I go in and get in with this crazy lady up the canyon in the river. Do you want to join us?" And we've had people from Australia, and we've had people from all over hear and want to try it.
Doctors say there are mental and physical health benefits to cold plunges, and the people who regularly go, like Melissa Gray, say they've noticed a difference in their bodies and minds.
I have a trough in my backyard, and I've placed it on the north side of my house so that I can keep it as cold as possible. And this time of year, it's fantastic because it stays really cold, but in the summer, it's a little more tricky. You gotta put some ice in it, but I try to be in there at least every other day, if not every day. I do find the more active that I am, so the more that I'm exercising or working out, or my stress levels is higher, I do find myself being more drawn to my tub of water to just kind of recover my brain and my body. Mm-hmm. And my spirit. It's all encompassing for me.
Those cold tubs that Gray mentions are growing in popularity. DataBridge Market Research expects the cold plunge pools market to reach $400 million by 2029, or up about 25% over an 8-year span. And for people who don't want to invest in a $15,000 cold tub, there are a few companies in Utah that sell cold plunge experiences. I spoke with the owner of Verve House in Farmington, Jeff Holman. They offer options like single sessions or unlimited memberships, kinds that let people come in as often as they'd like, that are for sale weekly, monthly, or prepaid for months in advance. The company had so much interest that even before they opened a year ago, Holman says they pre-sold a number of unlimited memberships. He says since they've opened, there are many different types of people who've been interested in coming out to try it.
There are some people who come in, they know that they want to do this. And then there are a lot of people who come in and they're like, someone said I should try this, and they're very timid. So we also get people that are, you know, we don't have teenagers in here just from an age thing, but we have younger people, you know, lower 20s up to, you know, 60s. And I would guess at some other ages, but I'll withhold. But we have quite the range of people. And it's actually really fun when the people who come in that haven't been before are here, because we get to kind of walk them through that experience and, you know, explain what it's like, but explaining it to them versus having them experience it and hearing them go, you know, when they first get in the water, if you've experienced that, getting in the rivers or whatever, you know, there's just something kind of magical about it.
Are all the benefits sounding too good to be true? I thought so too, so I spoke to a specialist with the U of U Health. That's coming up next.
It's going to be some kind of year in news. It's the kind of year to demand experience and fairness. In the morning and afternoon, we invite you to join us. We have you covered on KSL News Radio.
The people who go cold plunging say they've seen benefits that sounded a little unbelievable to me. Some say their anxiety and depression have improved. Others say a knee that's always given them trouble no longer hurts. So before I jumped in the water to try it myself, I wanted to sit down with a professional to outline the benefits of cold plunges, what research there is to back up some of the claims, and if there were any risks.
My name is Brianna Howard. I work with the University of Utah Health System as an outreach athletic trainer down at a high school in Harriman. And then I also teach in the master's program of athletic training. And I grew up doing polar plunges back in Chicago and Lake Michigan, but I obviously didn't understand the physiology as an 8-year-old. And then in the athletics population, we use it a lot. We use like cold whirlpools, and that's a really good like kind of anti-inflammatory response, or essentially just a you don't feel sore the next day is the goal for athletes.
What I think about in terms of athletes taking cold baths, like I think of football players in ice tubs, tons of ice cubes and baths. Is that kind of what the cold whirlpool is like? Is it similar to that?
Yeah, that's exactly like the same thing. If we're thinking in terms of athletics, usually there's just big tubs that are sitting out and athletes are just kind of thrusting themselves in after practice to try to get that quick cool down. It makes them feel good afterwards. It helps decrease the like heat that they feel in their body, and it usually helps them feel pretty good, and it just kind of resets the system.
What can you say about the mental health benefits of it? What kind of research have you read?
Research hasn't shown a lot. It's definitely like an up-and-coming research form, but unfortunately, research itself doesn't have like consistent parameters, a consistent population that they research. But what we're seeing just kind of on like a case-by-case level is when you get like initially into the like cold plunge or just cold water immersion, you have a basically like what they call a cold shock, which is just like an increase in serotonin and an increase in adrenaline. And without getting into too much physiology, if you have an increase in serotonin and adrenaline, you get an increase in norepinephrine, which basically gives more opportunities for dopamine to bind to do things. So in essence, dopamine can do the work it wants to, which dopamine's a happy hormone, right? And so you get that feeling of sensation, like obviously it's like a cold shock, right? So it's an instantaneous change, but you get just kind of this feeling of just like euphoria, a little bit of feeling of happiness. You just kind of feel good with the body bringing a lot of blood into the core, a lot of increase in things flowing through your brain. And it just like makes people feel happy. It makes people feel refreshed. Like their stress goes away, their anxiety goes away, because you have such a quick change in hormones because of the quick external temperature change. They feel better. Everything just kind of melts away.
In terms of seasonal depression, I know a lot of people do cold plunges during the winter to help with seasonal depression. Can you do one plunge once a week, and will you see benefits for the full week? How long are the effects of a cold plunge?
There have been like more anecdotal studies that have shown that the physiological changes can be upwards of 24 to 48 hours. And so people dealing with seasonal depression, it is an option for them to try to use cold plunging, but just being sure they check with their doctor first. They don't have any pre-existing cardiac conditions that could kind of wreak havoc with this cold shock response. But it is definitely an option to try. And there was an anecdotal study that showed that Some people who did have depression, 60 to 80% reported that they actually had a reduction in symptoms that lasted long enough they were able to stop the medication that they were using. But again, unfortunately, small study size, small sample size, it can't be contributed to everybody. But it's definitely like an option, especially when it's colder temperatures. It might not feel as good outside, right? You can't get the sun baking on your skin as much as people, at least in the state of Utah, enjoy in the summer. And so definitely giving that a shot, but starting with 30 seconds at a time. I would start even just in your shower, like after you finish your shower, turn it to a cooler temperature, basically something that makes you feel like you're cold. It kind of gives you that little bit of like a almost shivering feeling, and then just sit in that for 30 seconds and see how you feel afterwards. If it gives you that kind of euphoria feel, that stress relief feel, then a couple times a week. And then some researchers usually do it like a couple of times a month to give them that effect that lasts more long term.
Is there any chance that like some of these impacts are psychosomatic, or is there enough research that like your serotonin and adrenaline increase that it's clear that it's not all psychosomatic?
Research has not made a hard line on determining what is true and what is consistent for everybody. But a lot of times, like if something works for you and it gives you the goals that you're obtaining, we can't necessarily say as healthcare providers it's a bad thing as long as you're doing those things in a safe way. And so for some people, like the hormone change that happens with cold plunging, either whether it's the happiness you get from doing it in a social environment or it's just the happiness you get from the hormone change, if that makes you happier and creates the happiness that you're looking for, or helps kind of the seasonal depression or the anxiety that you're getting, if the cold plunge and the changes that happen internally within your brain is what you're looking for, then it's totally fine that you do it. It's going to be different for everybody, and there's not clear research that states like this is the change you should expect with every single person. But it's definitely a broad enough topic that as long as you do it safely and you see positive physiological effects, that it's something that we're currently in healthcare, it's not something that should be turned away from as long as you're doing it safe and as long as there's no pre-existing conditions that you see.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the potential negative risks, negative impacts.
Safety is the most important part. So you never, like research shows, for example, like if you do something for 10 minutes and it works well, don't think that you can do this for 20 minutes because physiology doesn't work in a positive way by increasing time, because it is still like an external quick change in temperature does have like a big physiological response in the body system, and it doesn't always benefit everybody the same way. So if you choose to start doing this, be sure you're checking in with your physician, making sure you don't have any pre-existing conditions that can make this bad. In the research, it's usually like a cardiac condition, just because the cold shock response with that really quick increase in adrenaline isn't usually good for somebody with a cardiac condition. So checking in with your physician first. And then the other big thing, too, is just being sure you're starting small. So that 30 seconds for starting at 70 degrees might, like 70 degrees itself doesn't seem that cold, but normally our baths and showers are a lot hotter than that. And so starting with that cold, just see how your body takes it, see how you respond afterwards. Be sure after, when you have this, research calls an after drop, basically as the cold blood that's in your extremities starts to circulate back into your core, just be sure you're still moving. Give your body an opportunity to get all that cold blood to circulate around again, whereas you're still getting that kind of euphoria feel afterwards. There's not a lot of negative effects that have been shown unless you have a pre-existing condition that you don't address prior with your physician, or you're doing this cold plunge for too long.
Next, we'll explore the spike in popularity of cold plunges and what the future of plunges could look like.
This is a documentary about the growing popularity of cold plunging. As I note in the story, talk with your doctor if you're considering a cold plunge, and if you choose to try it, observe all safety precautions.
Ready to take the plunge?
When you get into the cold plunge, you have what they call a cold shock, which is just like an increase in serotonin and an increase in adrenaline, but you get just kind of this feeling of just like euphoria.
It's a deep dive into the benefits of cold plunging. This hour, we look at real experiences and the research explaining why it works. Our host is Jessica Lowell on KSL News Radio.
Cold plunging has become more mainstream in recent years. It's grown in pop culture with A-list celebrities turning to cold water therapy.
This is supposed to be for a relaxing spa day, these ice baths.
Kim Kardashian has done it during spa retreats.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Drake has talked about it during interviews.
What's your favorite thing to feel?
I like a cold plunge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I like to get out of a cold plunge and then just be like, whatever that feeling is.
And even Joe Rogan has his own cold tub in his backyard.
When I first started doing the cold plunge, it was difficult for me to get to just like a minute and a half. I was freezing. And I'm still just as cold, but now I understand it.
But cold plunges have been used for fundraising for decades.
Special Olympics Utah is a part of the bigger organization that's our parent organization that's just called Special Olympics. And they kind of set the groundwork for all Special Olympic organizations. And some of the things that they like support us with or help provide us with is kind of like turnkey fundraisers that we can do in our local areas. And one of the events that they started that was really successful that now we do actually across the world is called the Polar Plunge. And so that is a copyrighted event for Special Olympics. So if you see the Polar Plunge anywhere, it's usually benefiting Special Olympics. So basically people commit to raising funds for Special Olympics to get the chance to jump into cold water.
That's Haley Nall with Special Olympics Utah. She says they have a long history with cold plunges.
Special Olympics has been doing this for, I want to say, over 20 years. So it's been happening for a really long time. So this year we had 5 different plunges in 5 different locations. We had one in North Ogden. We had one in Salt Lake at Daybreak. We had one in Cedar City, one in Park City, and then one in Cache Valley. This year, between all 5 plunges, we raised $67,000. 521 plungers this year.
So how does that compare to previous years?
Last year we had the same amount of, we had 5 locations, and we probably had about half of those plungers.
Do you think that this is just because the popularity of cold plunges in general is becoming more common? Why do you think it had such a big turnout?
Maybe. We did a different location this year that was really successful. And then also there was kind of a break in polar plunges around COVID and I think the year before as well. And so just as far as like our community, this is the 3rd year that we have now brought our polar plunges back. And I think everyone's just kind of getting more used to it and the word's getting out a little bit more. But yeah, we did not do one at Daybreak last year, and Daybreak was super successful this year. We had 231 plungers there, so that location definitely helped us out.
Even school districts in the state have teamed up with Special Olympics Utah. The Davis School District went to Farmington Pond towards the end of February to fundraise for student athletes with disabilities. Plunges have become so popular that it was even part of this year's legislative session. Utah Senator Curtis Bramble sponsored a bill that will soon be law, making sure no one regulates cold tubs.
Our statutes are silent on how they should be regulated. And so the departments of health, both county and state, have had no option but to regulate them like swimming pools.
Bramble told KSL News Radio during the session the bill would mean the state would no longer hold smaller cold tanks to the same standards as swimming pools. He says prior to this bill, the Department of Health agreed they would not regulate these kinds of cold plunges, but Bramble wanted to make it official.
If you're a business, it's very difficult to make an investment in the capital, in the equipment and the facilities based on a, we won't enforce this rule, trust us. And where it was silent, we wanted to give statutory clarity. That's really what's going on.
Before the legislation was passed, one lawyer and businessman had been working with local and state health officials to try and define cold tubs. Jeff Holman is the owner of Verve House, a company that sells sauna and cold plunge experiences. He's also a lawyer for startup and scaling companies. When he opened his location about a year ago, he says the regulations weren't clear. And that wasn't just a problem in Utah.
You know, we've had, I'll bet every month we have a couple other potential studio owners call us and they say, hey, we're in Wisconsin or we're, you know, down the road. Hey, how did you guys get around XYZ? Or what are you doing for this? Because we're trying to comply and it's just, it doesn't make sense, right? So, you know, we've had several of those conversations and we've told them our approach to it, which fortunately is aligning with what the state is adopting.
Now the legislative session has defined what a cold tub is. Mm-hmm. So what kind of a difference does that make for you now? Does that change any way that you were operating before?
Yeah, it does. Before we would have to operate. So if you have a body of water, right, and even a tub that's 100 gallons is considered a body of water and you're having people pay you to use that body of water, then that body of water is regulated by the state swimming pool rules unless it's exempt. And those rules require a lot of things. First of all, they require that you can't operate below about 70 degrees, which is, you know, exactly opposite of what we're trying to do with the cold plunge. You also have to have depth markings, a certain step height around the pool. You have drain requirements, like the specific type of drain that they use in swimming pools is regulated. The circulation, the filtration, the sanitization with chlorine or another chemical, that's all regulated. And so obviously we couldn't do that, so we weren't able to operate with multiple people using the tub. And so, and while we're even, you know, to clarify, we would do it one person at a time. And so we had to change how we were doing that during that time period when we were talking with the health department. So we have three tubs that are full. When we're open with a session, we might have five people here at a time. Those five people would, if they want, get into the cold plunges one at a time. You know, they don't get in together. And so one person would get in for 3 minutes, let's say. They would finish their session, get out and dry off. That tub was then available without having to drain and add new water and chill it, which wouldn't really be possible in a time frame. So another person could get into the same water that had been used by the first person.
Coming up, I talked to someone who's taken the plunge every day for over 2 years, and she walked me through my first ever cold plunge.
It's going to be some kind of year in news. It's the kind of year to demand experience and fairness. In the morning and afternoon, we invite you to join us. We have you covered on KSL News Radio.
My investigation into cold plunging started, ironically enough, during one of the biggest weeks of snowfall of the year at 6,000 feet of elevation. I went to interview someone who had been plunging for years, and by the end, I decided I needed to give it a try myself.
Deep breath in.
I only lasted about a minute and 15 seconds when I went in myself. It was a cold, snowy day in February in Oakley, along the Weber River, near the top of a canyon in Summit County. Storms over the past week meant snow covered the roads, the trees, and even the rocks in the river were covered in the white stuff. I went with Haley Beckstead. It was my first time going in, but she had been plunging every day for the last 2 years. I went to her house in Oakley, where she lives along the river. So getting in every day isn't difficult, because the river never really gets above 60 degrees, and in the
the winter, it can even get into the teens. And when she's out of town, she searches out bodies of water while hiking to find lakes and canyons, or even just taking icy showers. I went to her house on her cold plunge anniversary.
2 years ago today, actually, I actually read a series of like three different books that had different introductions to cold exposure, and there was just an element to that that was shocking, that people for so long have, for so many generations have used this, and that it was kind of becoming more, I guess, accepted and open. People were doing it more often now. And so reading, for me, I think the health part of it, especially living on the river and seeing it, and I see it change every single day. It was kind of a no-brainer, honestly.
So can you take me back to today, 2 years ago, and what you experienced that day? Do you remember like the day and the first time that you went in?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't quite finished the book that I was currently reading, but I had kind of gotten in enough that I had an understanding. The gentleman that I was reading the book about had experienced a loss, and he was just sitting in a park, and there was a body of water, and was just feeling so much grief and pain that he wanted to escape it. And I had gotten through that part, and I myself was experiencing a pain and I felt like a pressure to kind of uphold a certain standard as a mom and as a wife. And it was feeling like it was too much. And I felt like I was kind of losing control. I just was searching for anything to kind of give me, like, I just didn't want to think about the stresses that I was feeling in that moment. And so we just said, let's try it. Like, even if we just get in and get out, like, the curiosity was there. And I think more for me to just not feel the intense feelings that I had in that moment. I just wanted a minute. I just wanted a break. The night before, I had done some scripture study, and I had found it talked about water and how, like, healing the water was and how it connected you to your creator. And so I think for me, it just kind of full circle within that day. I was just like, yeah, this makes sense. I just need a minute to just feel all the things I'm feeling, but then yet not feel them. And so it was afternoon and it was sunny. There was actually a large sheet, like most of the river was covered in the area that we got in. So except for like a really small area, I mean, we didn't really know what we were doing. Honestly, we changed into our swimsuits next to the river. It was like our first time trying to figure out the dynamic of how to do this safely, right? And just shimmied our way over there barefoot and really didn't have a lot of the gear that I use now but at the time it was just like something new and exciting. So we just jumped in, and it was a pretty emotional experience for me. I think because I had just held so much that I was experiencing in and down deep and had buried it for so many years that it all kind of came to the surface. I was pretty emotional, and I think it worried my friends a little bit. They were like, are you hurting? Like, what's going on? But it just felt like the ultimate release. And I wasn't in for very long. I think we have a picture of the first time. I think I was in for like 40 seconds, if that. And I was so overcome with emotion, I hurried home, and my feet and my hands were just hurting so bad. And I was like, what am I doing? Like that, I almost kind of wondered if it was counterproductive because my emotions, I couldn't control at that point. And I came home and was crying and just trying to figure out, like, am I hurting? Like, what is happening? And my husband asked me, like, what's going on? Like, what happened? Are you okay? Like, I can't believe you guys just did that. And I said to him, I just can't, like, I can't carry all this anymore. I need an outlet. I need to let this go. And that night, as I just continually, you know, kind of thought about it and realized like the highs and the lows I experienced and the rush of emotion, it was something that it felt like right about what I was doing. So I went back the next day, did it again. And it was intense again, and there was a lot, but it kind of released and opened up, and it released and opened, but then also helped me find like peace in what I was experiencing in that moment, and just to kind of continue on, but have something to look forward to.
It sounds like this was a big moment, self-discovery.
Do
you feel like even 2 years into it, you're still having those moments of self-discovery?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like this has opened a side of me that's more, I have more awareness of who I am, and like a greater relationship with my creator. I just feel like I'm aware of my purpose here, and I don't know, it just has, I've discovered a lot about myself and how I handle stress, and how, like, I think voluntarily putting myself in a stressful situation has helped me realize, like, I can handle things that maybe I can't voluntarily put myself in, but I can handle it the same way with my breath, with my calm, finding a peaceful place. Like, I have control of those things.
And so tell me more about the mind shut off that you're describing. What is that like?
It's kind of like overload. Your body kind of goes into like it's a shock, right? So you're honestly can only think of your physical body. It's hard to focus on anything else but what you're experiencing. It's about the first 45 seconds is intense. You're in fight or flight mode. All you are doing is really going inward. So like an ultimate reset, really, for your brain, for your breath, for, it's the most simplified, I feel like, stressor that just brings you right back to your bare basic, your survival almost in an instant. That's kind of what it feels like.
Walk me through today and what you're planning on doing, how you're planning on getting ready, how it looks different than 2 years ago.
About 3 months into it, I started to use neoprene gloves and booties, and that was a game changer. I went from being able to only be in for 30 seconds to a minute to now I can stay in as long as I'd like. I like to sit and have heat exposure first, or warm my core, really. And there's benefits in that, but really it helps to be able to get and drop into the river fully if your core is really warm before you get in. I've just noticed it makes a huge difference. So I'll normally sit in the hot tub. Once we're done in the hot tub, we'll walk out to the river and get in fully. Like, there's no hesitation. We try to just, it's an immediate, you step in, you sit down. A lot of times right before I'll sit, I'll take a really deep breath in. And on my exhale, so as I'm pushing the air out of my mouth, I just drop my whole body into the water. Legs full out, everything fully extended. And then focus on something, whether it's your breath, your prayer, the trees, the moving water. And I think it helps to intentionally think of what you want to focus on before you go in. Because that first, like I said, your body's in fight or flight. So it's saying, get out. This is not okay. You know, like, it's flee, run. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you can keep something in your mind that you want to do while you're intentionally in the river, it helps get through that first 45 seconds.
I walked into that interview unsure if I would be going in with Haley, but after the interview, I decided I needed to give it a try myself.
Focus on that tree with the snow coming up.
As you can hear, I'm struggling to find my breath and spent most of the plunge gasping for air. My main goal was to make it over a minute, but ideally to a minute 40 to try and reach a state of post-shock. I stayed in as long as I could handle it, but was about 30 seconds short of my ultimate goal.
You want to get up?
I think I do.
You're good. You're great. Yes, yes.
Okay.
After I came out, I felt a feeling of euphoria, a sheer childlike giddiness.
I've tried meditation and you just want to focus on breathing. That's all you want to focus on. And I've never been able to do that. But I feel like in there, like it was just, it was like I wasn't thinking about anything except for every once in a while, like I'd hear you saying breathe and I'd be like, oh yeah, I have to breathe. And then I'd think about breathing. And it was so weird to like have that kind of focus, like being present.
Absolutely present.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
It was like the only thing you could do in that moment.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything else but right.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the like I'm practicing mindfulness thing that like I think feel like a lot of therapists talk about, and it's like I want to be present in the moment, mindful of like my surroundings, and it's like all you can do is like be present and be mindful of your surroundings in that moment.
When you were able to take in that breath through your nose and slow that, I could see it shift in you, where you were like, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm good.
Let's go. Yeah.
It was awesome that you got to that point where you were able to take in that calmed breath and let it go.
Yeah.
And then collectively be like, okay,
well,
I'm ready.
It totally was a challenge too, because I feel like it was, I wanted to get out immediately. In the first second, I was like, okay, I want to get out now. And how long until, especially because I think we had talked about it before and I knew like what you guys were feeling. And so I was like, oh, this is what I should be looking for. And I probably shouldn't leave the water until I have some control over this situation, I guess. There was part of me that was like, is this psychosomatic? You know, like where it's like, you just like, I don't know. But there's such a physical response that it seems kind of impossible that it's psychosomatic.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think there's an element where people do think that. Like, you just psych yourself out and it's just like stupid that you're doing, you know, and it's all creative, right? But man, no, there's definitely a body mind response.
That euphoric feeling lasted about an hour post plunge. I don't know if I'll go in again, but it was a thrilling escape for an afternoon. And if you're brave enough to try it yourself, you just might see the benefits so many others have seen for centuries. As we look to the future, it's clear that cold plunges are here to stay, with continued research into their health benefits, increased accessibility through specialized centers, and legislative protections. We can expect to see even more people embracing the exhilarating rush. But beyond the physical sensation and scientific explanations, part of the draw is our own resilience. Whether you've been cold plunging every day for years, or like me, have just taken your first plunge, within the icy depths of the water, we might all find profound discovery and transformation. So if you do dive in, I hope you find the strength to endure the chill and the warmth of community to carry you through and continue like many before to bring curiosity to take the plunge into the unknown.